Welcome to WP Coffee Talk with your podcast barista, Michelle Frechette. Special thanks to our amazing sponsors, Century Hosting, Expander Digital, and GoWP. WP Coffee Talk is a proud supporter of Big Orange Heart, whose mission is to support and promote positive well-being and mental health within remote working communities. Please consider a donation to Big Orange Heart to continue to support this great mission. Welcome to WP Coffee Talk. And I am once again introducing you to another person in the WordPress community, somebody that I think we were talking the other day, and we don't know if we've ever actually met in person.
I can't say for sure if we have. I'm sorry.
I know that we've been in the same room before because we've narrowed down the fact that we've been to the same WordCamps and things like that. But certainly we're friends on Twitter, and we're in a group chat of a whole bunch of other people that just like to have fun all day long, and we blame Chris Wigman for that one. So
always blame Chris Wigman. That's a good rule for life.
Exactly.
Also, hi, Roy.
That's right. Roy's been on the show. So has Chris, actually. So super. There you go. But I'm introducing to you all tonight, because I haven't said his name yet, of course. David Johnson. How are you doing tonight, David?
I'm doing great, Michelle. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks. It's nice to see you.
Likewise. Yeah. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. And you're right. You do need a new headshot. Got a little more gray in the beard, and you look a little better than you did in that other one.
So. Oh, well, that's very kind. Yeah, yeah. No, it's what's happening. I don't know. It's weird.
Well, if I can make it down to my WordCamp Miami, I'll bring the camera. We'll do new headshots. I promise.
That would be great. I would love to see it come down. It's, you know, we got to get this question about whether we've actually formally met settled once and for all, right?
Because by then it'll be like, oh, yes, we have, at least for the very first time in Miami. There you go.
That's right. Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Oh, sure. So I have a digital strategy business. It really began in 1998. So it wasn't digital back then. I was just a marketing consultant primarily.
It was just strategy. No digital, just strategy.
Yeah, absolutely. And along the way, I developed an affinity for digital stuff. I've been a geek all my life. So, you know, as marketing and technology sort of became one and the same thing along the way, it was a good fit for me to kind of shift gears. And so in about 2010, we started building a team. And today we have a content team. So we produce a lot of content for people.
That's wonderful. Yeah, and content great. Goes right along with SEO and filling the needs of your customers, et cetera. And so we're going to talk about that in a little bit.
Sure.
But, you know, first things first, show me your mug.
Oh, yes. Okay. This is probably one of the more sizable mugs I own. I don't know if you can see the print on it, but this is from WordCamp Tampa 2016. And that's I think it was speaker swag, but, that's my mug for today.
And what's in your mug tonight?
This is freshly brewed Cafe Verona from Starbucks. It's nice. Just my go-to brew at home. And so it just came out of the French press just a few minutes ago. So,
yeah, I think we were talking the other day. I need to get a French press. I've never used one, but everybody that I know, including my daughter, says, Mom, it's the best coffee ever. So I'll have to
it
try
is good. You know, there's a sort of universal desire to match the smell of coffee with the flavor. And for me, the French press gets you pretty close. A good pour over, if it's done well, might get you a little closer. And there are some who argue that a vacuum pot gets you even, you know, but I think a French press is great for the amount of effort required. Yeah, it's a good payoff.
So I probably shouldn't tell you that I'm mostly doing K-cups then.
Oh, I won't hold that against you at all. I won't send you the links that talk about the stuff that grows in your Keurig. So
Please don't. I won't. Yeah. I hit it with vinegar every once in a while, and I haven't died yet, so it's all good.
You know, I think if you use it a lot, it's not a problem. I think it's the people that let it sit for like a week and then they try to brew coffee, and
it's getting used on the daily more than once. But
I hear that.
So I have my Wonder Woman mug.
Well, all right.
Let's face it, I have many Wonder Woman mugs, but this is the one I'm using today. So nice. it's got camouflage, but even with camouflage, Wonder Woman can't hide. You can just totally see her there.
Absolutely. And I
because it is this time of night, and because I do need to sleep at some point, and I'm not impervious to caffeine, I'm drinking herbal tea.
So oh, that's good.
It's a yogi tea with turmeric and ginger and honey in it. So
that's nice. I almost went with tea, but I realized I'm sort of on the downward spiral for the day. and I am impervious to caffeine. In fact, I have no idea if this will help at all. but I can drink like a pot of coffee and then go straight to bed. I don't know what, you know, just doesn't affect me at all.
Well, so the good thing about WP Coffee Talk is I ask the questions, but you do most of the talking. So hopefully you'll stay awake.
Okay. Well, unless I bore myself, in which case, please interrupt me.
if I see you starting to nod off, I will definitely make some noise.
That sounds good. That sounds like a plan.
So tell us, how did you get started in WordPress?
Okay. So it was 2006 and I was working with clients doing more, as I mentioned, with digital. By then the web, you know, was a big deal for even small clients. And we were doing email marketing. I've always been a lover of database marketing. And so we were working with clients along those lines. And I'm always interested in ways to improve performance and, you know, results and optimize and so forth. So this particular day I was sitting in my office. I remember like it was yesterday. It was time for new business cards. And you know, why do things normally, right? You know, so I had this quest for maybe an interesting business card idea or whatever. So I was doing some Googling. And I ran across this crazy story. Somebody had posted a blog post about a conference they'd been to, and this was Silicon Valley, so San Francisco. And there was this guy at the conference whose business card had three steps on it. It said, step one, go to google.com. Step two, type in Matt, M-A-T-T. Step three, hit I'm feeling lucky. And of course, I guess there are still people who don't know what the I'm feeling lucky button does, because we all just Google things and we don't know, you know, and right. Is the button even there anymore? I don't know.
But I think it is. Yeah.
Okay. So the net result of it is that this person's business card implied that he was number one in the Google search results for his first name, Matt, M-A-T-T.
Okay.
And so I did it, of course, and what do you know? I found myself on photomat.net, and it was Matt Mullenweg's website. And the reason that, if you don't know, I should say what the I'm feeling lucky button does, because I guess there are people who don't know, but it skips the Google search results completely. It just takes you directly to the number one website. So Matt Mullenweg was in fact the number one Google result for his own first name. And I was like, what in the world is this? Well, it turns out, of course, Matt Mullenweg is co-founder of WordPress, and his site was running WordPress. And I quickly learned that actually he was probably not just benefiting from WordPress, but from the fact that at the time, every default WordPress installation came with a backlink to his website using only his first name.
I had no idea.
I don't know. How long ago did you start using WordPress? I'm not sure that I know that.
About 10 years ago, maybe.
Okay, so you weren't too far behind me. So this was like, I think we were still on 1.5, maybe 2.0. I don't know. It was somewhere in there. I guess I could look back at the history and tell you what version it was. But the default theme at the time had a widget with a contributor list. And Matt was one of the people who obviously was a contributor. So, and so he got, I mean, you know, hundreds of thousands of backlinks, because a lot of people, there weren't tons of themes available at the time. And most of the time what you would do is just customize the default theme anyway. Right. And so, and I think it was, what was it? It was a K, it was never mind. I don't remember the name of the default theme, but anyway, so a lot of people just left the links up. So he was number one. He is not now, or at least last time I ran the search, number one in Google for his first name anymore. But I couldn't resist the idea that there was software you could run that would get you such great performance in Google search. And so
I'm going to look that while you talk. I'm going to
see. Okay, I'll talk. I'll keep talking. You run the search.
Okay.
So I had hosting sites or hosting accounts before, but I'd never had a Lampstack hosting account. I'd always had like IIS or Windows, you know, or whatever it was. So I opened a hosting account that day, ran through the famous 5-minute install, which took me like an hour. And got WordPress installed and up and running, and published my first blog post, and I've been going ever since. So that was
awesome.
September. Wait, I actually, you know what? I moved away from the page. It was September. I think it was September 9th, 2006. I had it open because I was
It's like 13 years ago.
Yeah, red letter.
He's not the number one, and I'll tell you what, the number one is somebody I've never heard of before.
Is it the dancing, like where the hell is Matt.com?
Where the heck is Matt.com? Yeah.
Oh, does it say, is this a family friendly, should I not say, or does it actually say
heck? No, it says heck. It says where the heck is Matt.com? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Maybe he has two versions.
Maybe so. Or maybe that's the name of the site, but the domain name is hacked. Yeah. But he danced around the world. He would go and he would dance.
Oh, yeah. I saw that guy.
Yeah, that's him. That was Matt. He was in competition with Matt Mullenweg for a long time, but I think he ended up.
Well, Matt Mullenweg's not even on the first page, so.
Uh-oh.
Mullenweg, if you're watching, you got to get back up there, dude. Anyway.
We need to give him some backlinks, I guess. I don't know.
I guess so. You know, we'll do him a shout out anyway, so.
Yeah, sure.
When you look at sites, and I'm sure, so are you building sites? Or are you, for the most part, are you mostly doing the content for the sites? A little bit of everything.
Yeah, I've never really promoted our business as a web development business, but we've built, I don't know, hundreds of WordPress sites along the way. And a lot of times it's because we're doing a project with a client and they need, you know, a way to publish content. Or of course now, you know, for the longest time, we wouldn't use WordPress to build the main website for anything. We would just throw it in a subfolder or on a subdomain and use it
for the blog.
Yeah. But obviously that changed over time. So we've built lots and lots of sites for people, but usually as part of another project. So you won't see me advertising web development services. And, but we do it. Yeah. So I build them.
You know your way around WordPress then. So yeah.
Just a little. Yeah.
Well, when you look at websites, whether it's ones you've built or ones you've inherited or just other people's sites, what's something you think that we as a community of designers, developers, whatever, need to do better at in order to make sites better and stronger for site visitors?
Sure. I think the hardest struggle that we have when we're the creators, publishers, or owners of websites, and I should preface that I deal primarily with business owners. I mean, we work almost exclusively with small businesses. So we've done projects for bigger companies, but most of the time it's a small business. And so there's either a person or two, or maybe a small team that's kind of responsible for marketing or whatever. So I tend to frame my thinking in terms of business owners. But I think whether we own a site or publish or create or whatever, I think the one struggle that's very hard for us to overcome is the idea of trying to put ourselves in the minds of the customer, the buyer, the visitor. It's really hard to do that. And, you know, you can be coached to do it. You can have people ask you questions. And at the end of the day, I feel like we still suffer from this bias that is very hard to overcome. And the issue is that we just don't typically think enough about the experience from the standpoint of somebody that is really the customer that we're trying to attract. And so that shows up in lots of different ways. You know, our messaging might be unclear, or the call to action. I think one of the things that businesses often don't do well is design compelling CTAs, you know, where is the big orange button and where does it go to and why should I click it? And, you know, those kinds of things. So
yeah.
I like to walk business owners and site owners through kind of a review process. And it goes back to a time years ago. I spent some time in retail in the 90s. I don't often admit this, but I worked in retail for a few years. And I was...
You worked at Foot Locker, didn't you?
I'm not gonna say. No, it wasn't Foot Locker. It was a small independent business. But one of the things that I would often do is I would go get a cup of coffee, you know, so walk around the mall, clear my head. It was in a mall. And then just approach the store as if I were a shopper, a first time visitor or whatever. And, you know, when you try to put that lens on, it's amazing what you would see. Oh, look, that display is like, you know, crooked or, you know, gosh, we haven't vacuumed, you know, that spot or I don't know what it might be, dust the thing. Or the displays would make sense if you were kind of in on what the store was all about, but if you were new, you might not understand what the displays meant. You know, so there were lots of things that you sort of picked up. And I try to walk business owners through that experience or site owners through that experience and say, look, here's what somebody that doesn't know the first thing about your business or your website might think. And of course, you can't be right all the time about what that is. And, you know, it takes real UX studies and those kinds of things to see. But that's, I think, probably one of the weakest areas. And I think as developers of websites, as marketing strategists, or as people who design, you know, the experience that visitors have, I feel like that's an area that we really could sharpen up on. And I think it would be better for the visitors. And I think it would ultimately be better for the site owners.
Yep, I agree with you 100%. Absolutely. And a lot of that comes down to content. Go figure.
It does. Yeah, it really does. Yeah. And having a good strategy, you know, thinking about who it is you're talking to and what they're interested in. You know, the people don't care about your business. They care about what they care about, you know?
Exactly. I always say don't bury the lead. And so not having a clear call to action is like burying the lead.
And I will, I should preface, you know, all of my remarks today with, please don't go look at my website. Mine are any sites that I own for myself or for my company, they're always the worst at this stuff.
It's the classic case of the cobbler's children.
It truly is, you know, and I feel like we always need somebody else to do our marketing for us. It doesn't matter what kind of marketing genius you are. You need somebody else to talk about you for you because it's just hard to do well for yourself.
That's why you should never write your own bio. Truly. We're all too modest when we write our own bio anyway.
And yet we all write our own bios.
Because the other result is like paying somebody to write your bio. And everybody's like, I know more about me. I'm not going to pay somebody. But the truth is, it's worth the money.
It is. Yeah, it is. That's true.
What's something that you know now about WordPress or, you know, your business that you wish you had learned earlier on that would have made life a little easier?
Wow. About the business itself.
Or WordPress in general, you know.
Yeah, I've learned a lot. The toughest lessons for me have been around. It's funny because it's the same advice I just gave. It's just in another form. Thinking about the experience of doing business with me, right? Mm-hmm. And I think I have started to figure out ways to make it easier to do business with me, but. In the past, it was often hard to buy from me, you know, and it's crazy because I would walk businesses through this strategic process, you know, think about, you know, what should a conversion step be if you want someone to sign up for your email list or, you know, opt in for a free download or, you know, whatever it might be, or inquire, ask for a sales appointment or a free consult or a trial or a thing. Sure. And often, you know, I just, as you said, cobbler's kids, I just wouldn't implement those things for my own business and just made it very, very, very hard to do business with us. So I think I probably, although I knew intellectually that idea, as I said, I coach people through it. I just didn't pay enough attention to implementing and executing for my own business the way that I would coach someone else to do. So that's been a hard lesson to learn. And I'm not sure I've got that one yet, actually.
Yeah. Well, you know, you remind me of somebody saying to me once that, you know, that if you think that you've arrived and you don't need a coach, just remember that Serena Williams has a coach.
Exactly.
And she's the best. So there you go. So we all could use that.
And Serena's coach is not somebody whose name you know as a tennis player. And that's the other side. Coaching is its own expertise, you know?
Absolutely.
And
yep.
You know, we can't shoot down the coach because they don't have, it's ironically, right? I think I'm a pretty good marketing strategist, despite the fact that, you know, you might not know that if you looked at my own stuff.
Exactly. I'm the same way for sure. When you look back over your different WordCamp experiences, Word meetups, other WordPress type events, is there a pivotal moment or a inspirational moment, something that really made a difference for you? And what was it?
Interesting. I love the WordPress community. I think probably my first trip to WordCamp Miami, I would say, would probably be one of the most pivotal experiences for me. And I can't remember now if I was speaking on that trip or if I was just an attendee, but if you've never been to WordCamp Miami, it is absolutely one of the best run camps that I've ever been to. Mm-hmm. It's large. I mean, it's got a big, it attracts a pretty significant number of people. It might have something to do with the fact that it's in South Florida in February. So, you know, you know, that doesn't hurt, but you know, the organizers of WordCamp Miami, they were one of the first camps in existence. They've been doing it a long time and they've built a fantastic following, but it's just that particular camp for whatever reason, just epitomizes the WordPress community to me. Mm-hmm. They run a phenomenal event. It doesn't have logistical or other problems that often plague events. And I think what I picked up from that community in particular, and it's true of the WordPress community overall, but for some reason, WordCamp Miami just epitomizes it for me very well. And it's just welcoming and supportive. So much to learn, the interactions with people. And so I really have fond memories of all my WordCamp Miami experiences, I think.
That's awesome.
For those reasons, yeah.
That's great. I am also obviously a big WordPress fan, and I go to probably way more camps than I need to, but I love the community. I love sharing. I love learning. I go to the most I did in 1 year was 9. And I know that people, and that was before I was actually representing anybody ever at a camp, just me. But I average about 7 to 9 camps a year just because I really love them. And if I can drive to it, I'll go to it usually. So it's
fun.
That's
fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, right? So, but you're right. It's one of those things where almost every camp has some kind of moment where you're like, this is why I came. This was worth it. That's just pretty cool.
It's true.
So you've spoken at a bunch of camps, right? You've done a couple talks here and there.
A few. I mean, I'm certainly not the most, well-known speaker, but yeah, I enjoy it very much.
Yeah, that's awesome. So tell me a little bit about we talked a little bit about what you do in your business, but now's your time to kind of, give me the 5-minute tour about, what you guys do and whatever.
So,
what's the name of your company?
We're called Grow the Dream, and it's a long story, the branding story. The legal name of the entity is Epiphany Marketing LLC, and it's hilarious because I always counsel people when they're naming or they're in the process of launching, call your business something easy to spell and easy to remember, right? And I don't know why it didn't occur to me that Epiphany is hard to spell, but over the years, I had so many people who would, pull the, hey, I sent you an email, but it bounced. And is there something wrong with your email? No, you just don't know how to spell Epiphany. I didn't. We rebranded to Grow the Dream. And the idea with that is just simply that, I believe that behind every business is a dream. And, we go into business, whether we're freelancers or whether we're entrepreneurs with, funding or whether we're, well-established business, businesses that we own with large numbers of people or whatever, it's always because there's some dream in there. And maybe it's, I want to have more free time, or maybe I just think everybody else is an idiot and I want to work for myself because then I don't have to deal with idiots. It never works out, by the way. Not that I know anybody who thinks that way, but some of us are just unemployable, right? But, I think we have the dream that we're going to accomplish something or maybe have an impact. We like to find meaning in our work. And sometimes it's hard to do that in an environment where we work for someone else. So there's always a dream. And I believe that we tend to go into business doing things that we know how to do. And often we don't know how to run a business,
True.
So marketing especially is difficult. And like we were just saying a few minutes ago, we shouldn't do our own marketing. It doesn't matter how great we are at it. So I've found over the years that people really do need outside help, even if it's just strategy. So one of the things that really set us apart early on, and again, I was a one-man show until about 2010. So when I say us, a lot of times in the early days, it was just me.
But the royal us.
Exactly, the royal we. I spoke often with technology companies. In the early days, almost all of our clients were tech companies because I was a geek. And I spoke geek and I spoke human. And they needed a geek human interface, especially where their marketing was, because most of them weren't selling their techie products or services to techie people. The most of the time they were selling them to people who were not technical in nature. And so that was an area where I found a sweet spot for me. So I was able to sort of work with them to help them with their messaging and so forth. And so one of the things that I think has often set us apart over the years is just the idea that I've always focused on strategy. And so we have this theory that marketing rests on a three-legged stool, and a three-legged stool that's got one leg missing, it just doesn't work.
Right.
So, and the three legs are knowing who it is that you serve. So, who is it that's in not just your target market, but I like to talk about the target market in terms of the bullseye. Often we know we have some general idea of who our target market is, who our best customers are, but we haven't really narrowed it down enough, and it's scary to do that. So I encourage people to do that. But the idea is just simply that, look, if you aim at the bullseye, but you miss a little bit, you still hit a target. If you aim at the target, but you miss a little bit, you're hitting air, So the idea of just really refining that idea or that understanding of who it is you're talking to and who it is that you really want to do business with. Often, one of the things we do is ask people, you know, have you ever had a client or a customer that was unprofitable? Or have you had some that, you know, you just were really happy to refer them to your favorite competitor, you know? And it's funny how many times we spend money and engage in, you know, put effort and energy and time into marketing efforts that attract the wrong people. Mm-hmm. And so I like to encourage people to think about the clients that they've had the best experiences with. The clients have had a good experience, profitable, you get paid, you do the good work. Or they, you know, mm-hmm. your products fits them well, whatever it might be. So who you serve is one. The second leg of the stool is really having a clear idea of what your identity is. Mm-hmm. And this is where we struggle, right? You can't see, I used to say, you can't see the inside or you can't see the outside of your water bottle from the inside, you know? And back when the water bottles had labels on them, they don't anymore, you know, it's just clear plastic and they print right on the plastic or whatever. But you couldn't see that label because you were inside. And you need somebody else to be able to see it. So the second leg was really just having a clear idea of you and your value and what your business is all about. Mm-hmm. And then thirdly, it's how do you message, how do you connect those two? You know, what kind of messaging can you use? So strategy has always been a foundation. And I would say that's probably been the strongest suit. And we continue to work with businesses to this day to help them understand those three ideas and get clear on them and then translate those ideas into actionable usable plans. And often that involves content marketing, like you said. So that's how that plays out.
That's awesome. Do you also do like the search engine optimization and things like that as part of it?
Again, I wouldn't say that we are an SEO company. We don't sell SEO mm-hmm. services per se, but we mm-hmm. do. Yeah.
I mean, content is really about that, right?
It really is. I mean, the reason that I became such a huge fan of WordPress, although the origin story of the business cards was fun, I had a client that was a physician and he was a specialist. He was a neurologist. He did a lot of headache work with the general public, but he also did Parkinson's. He treated Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and other neurological issues and so forth. And so I was on a project with him redesigning his website when I found WordPress. And okay. So I said to him, hey, you're going to need this other hosting account and I'm going to install some stuff. And I didn't charge him at all. And I sat down, I think I spent 20 minutes telling him what to do. I said, your job is going to be to publish a new article every week about some medical topic related to something that you're treating, you know. And about a year later, I got a call from him. And he said, hey, I want to meet for lunch. Okay, great. So we were sitting at lunch and he got into a story. We had our hamburgers and stuff. And he got into a story and he said, yeah, I'm really upset. I'm like, oh, well, what are you upset about? He said, well, you know, I used to have the first four pages in Google and he kept talking, but like I checked out, right? You know, I zoned out and like a minute or two later, I said, wait a minute. Did you say you had the first four pages in Google? And he said, yeah. I mean, and I said, you're telling me that you had the top 40 results. And I said, what was the keyword? And he said neurologist and he named the city that he was in. Really? And I said, okay, so what is it you're upset about? Well, he said, well, there's this other guy on page three now. And and I said, okay, first of all, no, you don't have any reason to be upset. You know, I mean, and it's still true to this day that the best place to hide a dead body is on the second page of the Google search results. And of course, that particular scenario is no longer possible because that was before Google mixed in map listings and all that sort of stuff. But he had published these tomes once a week, like clockwork. And I mean, they were almost unreadable. You know, they were written for medical journals and things because that was the only thing he'd ever had published. Right. But I mean, he had not just page one rankings, number one rankings on neurological conditions.
Right.
And it was a WordPress site with whatever the default theme was at the time. And he was publishing like mad. And I mean, these were 1200, 1800 word tomes that he was writing.
Wow.
I don't know how he managed to, you know, do that and still practice medicine, but, and he quit doing it. I mean, later he stopped publishing so much, but I was instantly like, okay. And he had done it and I hadn't. Like I had built my WordPress site and I'd published, I don't know, four posts or something in the same time. And I wasn't ranking for anything, you know. But it worked. And that's the end. At the end of the day, Google will reward sites that provide relevant content that meets people's needs. And all the SEO games and tricks and things, sure, there are legitimate SEO techniques that should be used. But at the end of the day, most of it, to me, is still about creating good quality content.
Yeah. Give the people what they're looking for and answer those questions.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's great. We move into our rapid fire questions and see what kinds of answer you have for them. As I say, I'll ask them rapidly. You can take as much time as you'd like to answer them. But here we go.
Okay.
What are two or three must-have plugins that you recommend to people building a website?
I pretty much universally install Gravity Forms because I love, you know, the fact that you can build forms quickly with it. And it also is built for developers. I mean, I shouldn't say that to scare people off. If you've never used it, you can use it without being a developer, but it's great. It's API. It's fantastic. It connects to everything under the sun. So I always feel like if you're going to have a call to action on your website, and you should, you need to build it in a way that's going to cause you to end up getting the inquiries. Right. And most form tools still want to email you the stuff, and Gravity Forms can do that. But I just see too many problems with spam and all the other stuff that causes mm-hmm. to not get the real inquiries because we get so much crap that comes through the forms and things. So I pretty much universally install Gravity Forms. I love Akismet still because, you know, mm-hmm. spam filtering.
It works.
It does. Yeah. And yes, you should send Matt $5 or something, you know, if you're, you know, so do that. Pay money for it. It's a valuable service that WordPress.com provides through the Jetpack connection. Mm-hmm. So, I think one of my other, there's so many plugins that I have loved over the years. And there's one that unfortunately doesn't get maintained quite as well, but I still love. And it's called Simple Tags. And it provides a great interface for looking at the tags you've used in the past and automatically applying them to your content. So it'll like scan through your content and add tags to your post based on words that you've used in the past for tags. And it's also got some API connectors that allow it to go out to, other tools and suggest tags for you based on your content that might also be good keywords that people might search for. So cool. I still love it. It's a fantastic plugin. And I guess, are all three of those in the repository? I think so. Well, Gravity Forms you pay for.
Gravity
so,
Form.
Yeah. So, you know, at least Akismet is free, even though if you want to use the service, you pay. So yeah, those will be my three for today.
Okay, cool. If you
ask me on a different day, there might be different three.
So you could tweet them out too. You could just tweet them out and I'll follow you. I follow you. So I'd say.
Yeah, we follow each other. We harass each other on Twitter.
All the time.
Absolutely.
At any point in your WordPress journey, have you had a mentor, whether it was official or unofficial, like somebody that kind of took you under their wing, that kind of thing? And who was it?
I'm going to blame Chris Wigman here again. And I wouldn't say that he's been a mentor in the sense that he's, you know, spent a lot of time with we've spent a lot of time, but usually that was over beers and nothing to do with WordPress. But I was never happy with local development solutions, right? If I'm going to work on a site on my local machine, years ago when I was back when I was still running Windows, which I don't do anymore, I was running a WAMP server on my machine and I would try to do that. But, you know, invariably there were problems and so forth. But Chris he built a Docker-based solution for spinning up a local development environment. And this was, this is several years ago now. He was, at the time, I think he was working still for University of Florida Health. And they were open sourcing a lot of what they did. And it took me a little while to wrap my head around some of the, some of the container-based ideas. I wasn't a Docker user at the time. And I read through the stuff and reviewed. And he was building, I think he'd done some of the work on that at an agency that he was with prior. So anyway, that made a huge difference for me. Having a local development environment on my machine that, you know, quickly I could do what I needed to do. Yeah. It taught me a lot. And I learned a lot just from the experience of getting it set up for the first time. So I love that tool. Today, the modern version of it is DevKit from WP Engine, which hopefully will live on despite the fact that they acquired local, they acquired Flywheel, right, which had created local. But I was just a huge fan of those Docker-based tools, and DevKit is even easier. I probably wouldn't learn as much if I had started with DevKit because it's so smooth. You type a couple commands and it just runs. It does what it does. But I had to install things and set things up the old school way when I was first getting started with that. So I'll blame Chris Wigman today.
I'll go with that. That's good. That works for me.
Yeah.
Who's somebody? You can't say Chris again, though.
Okay, I won't say Chris.
Okay. And don't say Wigman.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, there are two Chris Wigmans. So I still have a Chris Wigman left, and he's also in the WordPress community. So
this is true.
Yeah.
I reached out to him once by accident. So my apologies to the other Chris Wigman.
We did a talk. The three of us did a lightning talk at WordCamp US here this year in St. Louis. And the organizers deleted one of the Chris's from the They thought it was Chris Wigman twice, and no, it was there was two Chris Wigmans.
That's so funny. I am an organizer for WordCamp US. That was not me that did that, just for the record.
Oh, I know who did it. I'm not. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not going to name you. I want to protect the guilty.
I thought you were going to name me. Okay. But back to the no Chris Wigman.
Okay. No Chris
Wigman. Who's somebody in the WordPress community that you admire and why?
You know, I'm gonna say Matt Mullenweg, and it's sort of the easy one, but. He gets a lot of grief from, especially from a lot of the old time WordPress users, those of us who've been in the community for a long time. And I will say that, I know there are things that he's done and decisions that have been made and some events that have occurred, especially in the last year or so, a little more than a year, where the optics haven't been that great and people in the community have been upset. And I don't think that those reasons are all invalid. That's not what I mean. But I will say there is something to be said for someone who takes on the responsibility for a big open source project. And I don't know if, I mean, you could argue that there is no bigger open source project than WordPress. Certainly the Linux kernel is open source and it's on far more devices and we interact with it in far more ways, but I'm not sure if the Linux community is that big. And that might sound, you know, counterintuitive. And I'm at this point speaking completely out of school. I don't have data about this, but my sense is that this is a project, WordPress is, that impacts so many people. When you see the survey every year and you know how many people fill out I make my living from WordPress, for example, and how many businesses have sprung up and how many people rely on it. And, you know, not to mention 30, whatever percent it is of the web these days, it's a huge project. And I can't imagine having the responsibility for seeing to it that a project like WordPress survives. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have all of the issues that go along with a commons-based economy, which WordPress is.
Sure.
And also all the for-profit parts of it. And sure, Automattic is for-profit, and Matt is the CEO and is probably a massive stakeholder or shareholder in the business. But, you know, at the end of the day, the decisions that need to be made about a project like this require somebody with a certain amount of foresight and a certain amount of ability to be disagreeable at times and maybe even just do things that aren't popular. And I think Matt has handled himself with a tremendous amount of grace. And I'm not going to say that I've got, I'm a fan of every decision, but, and maybe there are real substantive problems with some of the decisions that have been made. At the end of the day, though, he's still young. I mean, he's in his 30s. Yeah. And my hat is off because, you know, this community continues to thrive and grow. And you can say what you want to about Automattic and the role. Maybe it's an outsized role that they play in the community. But at the end of the day, they're continuing to pour countless hours of labor into the project, not just development, but, you know, all the different components that Automattic is involved in. And so, and I'm not just an Automattic fanboy. I'm not necessarily a Matt fanboy. I just want to make that clear. But at the same time, my hat is off to somebody who's willing to do things that he's got to know more than anybody will be unpopular.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, will I always, you know, feel the way I do about, you know, admiring him? I don't know. And maybe there's too many things I don't know about what's going on. I just can't imagine the significance of the kind of decisions that he's got to make. Mm-hmm. And frankly, I think we're doing pretty well as a community. Mm-hmm. I really do. So
yep, I did too. And back to the Linux thing. I don't know that there's ever been a Linux camp in Rochester, New York, or a Linux camp in Miami. So I would hazard a guess that you're right, that the Linux community, as we think of the WordPress community, is probably not the same.
There's never been a community like this one that I've known about. I'm sure there have been some, but it just is unique and it's fantastic. And more people I meet in the community, the more I love this community.
Yep. I'm with you. I like to say I drank the Kool-Aid, but it is what it is. And it's just a fabulous group of people and make my life better every day.
That's true. Mine too.
That I know. Yeah. Which is
absolutely
awesome. What's something that you still would like to learn in WordPress, but you haven't tackled yet?
Ooh, PHP, JavaScript deeply. I don't know. I'm still not a coder. I wrote code in the early 80s, in the mid 80s, when I was first experimenting on a trash 80 back in the day. But I've never. I mean, I know enough PHP. I can read PHP, much of it. I know enough to be dangerous.
You're ahead of me.
I can create 500 errors on websites really quickly. And I know a little bit of JavaScript. I've spent some time in Node.js and done some weird things just because, I don't know, I get bored and I, decide to break things. But I'm still not a real coder at the end of the day.
So a little more code would be a good thing then.
Yeah, I would enjoy it, I think.
Yeah.
One day I'll make time to do it.
I know, I keep saying the same thing. I've been saying I'm going to learn PHP for about 3 years now. And I still don't know PHP. I've broken things with PHP trying to use snippets and have to go back and edit things out.
Isn't that what we do? Like copy and paste right out of Stack Overflow or Stack Exchange or the WordPress forums? Just paste this code in your functions.php file and watch your site go up in flames. Yeah, I've done that many times.
Yeah, exactly. And so now I do use child themes, so I can just go in and turn that off. But perfect. Yes, I have white screened a site or two in my day.
Yes, I have too. Cowboy coding. I'm a little better now with my local development environment. I try to break it on my own, machine before I send it up to production, but
not on a live site. Yeah,
exactly. Oh, I've still been known to go into that and I bypass the warning screen. You're about to edit code. Yep, I know.
Yep. Guilty. And that's, that's what backups are for. What's the biggest WordPress mistake you've ever made and what did you learn from it?
Ooh, the biggest WordPress mistake. The biggest WordPress mistake I've ever made is not publishing content on my own sites enough. Mm. At the end of the day, have I learned anything from it? Yeah, I've learned that the people that we publish content for get great results and we don't because we don't publish content enough on our sites. So yeah, will I ever learn that lesson? I hope so. But
so did you ever hear what Chris Wigman's answer was for this question?
No, I don't think I did.
He took down 23,000 sites in a fell swoop, one fell swoop. It took 3 days to get them back. So yeah. So, you can fix yours probably. And it took him a little while longer to do his, but
that's actually really impressive.
It was. And you can, you can go back to his episode and you can hear him talk about it. It was pretty fascinating. Not going to lie.
I need to do that. I'm not even mad. I mean, 23,000 sites at once. That's impressive. I mean,
So yeah, it was pretty good. What's your proudest WordPress moment?
I think my proudest WordPress moment is an aggregation of moments. When I first started speaking, I was getting speaking gigs at conferences and business events, not WordPress events, mm-hmm. just general marketplace, business type events, entrepreneurs and those kinds of things. And I had a, probably my biggest one was when the Ziegler Corporation gave me the opportunity to publish some articles and send emails to their, it was more than six figures of subscribers. And in that process though, we ran some webinars and so in the sort of 2008 to 2012 time span, I did a lot more speaking back then than I've done in since then. And I was able to introduce large numbers of people to WordPress at that time. And I'm thrilled about that to this day because I still get notes from people or I'll stumble across a website that they built as a result of a talk I gave or a training program that we conducted or whatever. And they're still out there cranking and they're doing well. And that's just incredibly rewarding because awesome. I was able to, sort of drag some people into the community.
I love that. That actually is, that's very good. I'm proud of you too for that.
Why, thank you. I appreciate
you're
that.
You're welcome. Yeah, for sure. If you weren't working in web and content and anything to do with your current job, what's another career that you might like to attempt?
Anything involving adrenaline. If I could make a career skydiving, I actually knew a guy that made a career skydiving. He was an ordained minister and he did weddings like two or three times a week. And it was the weddings that where they would jump, you know?
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want to deal with brides and grooms, but I don't know, I'm a little bit of an adrenaline junkie. So, you know, motorcycle racing, I don't know, you know, nothing too physically demanding, but just something that would create a lot of adrenaline. I'd be in favor of those.
Well, there you go. All right. And I am the opposite.
Okay.
If I could get paid to read books, I'm that girl.
I love to read, you know, but I need some adrenaline somewhere and then I can, you know, escape back to a book.
There you go. I can appreciate that. I can appreciate that. What's something on your bucket list?
I have wanted to, this goes back to motorcycles and adrenaline. I have wanted to take a ride. I saw this years ago. And when I first started riding motorcycles, it was 25 years, some period of time ago. There are these tour organizers that run tours of, for example, the Alps. Mm-hmm. And you fly to Europe, you land, they take your luggage, they say, here's your motorcycle, meet us at whatever the place is. And they have chase vehicles. And so, you know, they tell you where you're going to, your hotel and your evening and morning meals are all lined up, but you're responsible for your route from here to there every day. And they see some of the most amazing scenery. And so I would love to ride the European Alps, you know, the Swiss Alps, Bavarian Alps, whatever, but you know, some version of that motorcycle trip is one that's still something that I'm continuing to dream about doing someday.
And you are the first person who said that as their
yay
bucket list.
All right.
I love it. That's awesome. We've had a couple of people want to skydive. We've had a couple of people, you know, just want to travel, but you're the first person with that particular dream. I think that's pretty cool.
Neat.
Yeah. Show us or tell us about one of your hidden talents, something that the WordPress community might not know about you.
Hidden talents. Gosh. You know, I probably should have prepared for this question.
I did send them to you in advance.
You did. It's totally on me. So one of my hidden talents.
You could tell us about it. You don't have to like pull out a trumpet and start playing.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't do that. That wouldn't be right. I haven't played the trumpet in a very long time. I'm a keyboardist. I actually play keyboards. Okay. Yeah. And I actually was in a band that toured when I was 16. So I've been playing for a long time.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I love it. And it's not something I do enough of. I don't play very much these days, but yeah. I actually have a keyboard set up just in the other room and, you know, it's not plugged in or anything, but it's set up and I'm, you know, so yeah, music.
So I am also musical.
Okay.
And the keyboard that's in my house is a 1932 upright grand made by Krakauer. And
wow.
It's in my apartment, so I don't get to play it a lot because the neighbors don't really.
Yeah, they frown on that.
They don't appreciate it. And I'm never home during the day when it would be like, you know, whatever. But it's been a lot of years since I was actually very good at it. But but I get some music in my family, so.
That's cool. Did you get to the City Museum in St. Louis at WordCamp US?
I did. It was a pretty fascinating place.
Did you see the Wurlitzer organ?
I did not.
Okay, so the spiral staircase that you go up so that you could ride you could do the 10-story slide?
Yeah.
Or the 5-story slide? That big cavernous room that the spiral staircases were in, there were pipes built into the walls.
Wow.
And
I missed that.
Yeah, there were so many things to miss in that place, right? But I did find eventually the console where you would play the organ, but it was a 1934 Wurlitzer organ.
That's
and it was
awesome.
Originally built for a theater in New York, and somehow it got transplanted to the City Museum like so many other things.
That's
and,
wild.
It was amazing. And it looks like it's operational. They had a tarp over the console, and I don't know. I never did find out if anybody ever plays it, but it was amazing. Yeah. And there was one of the places where you would go to try to get to one of the slides that I was perpetually getting lost in. You could see all the percussion. So there was a big bass drum. There were all sorts of like xylophone parts and things and bells and, you know, noisemakers and cymbals and whatnot. It was really, 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 really cool. So
I'll have to check it out next year.
I'm looking forward. I can't wait. I want to go back and spend like a day or two at the City Museum, you know?
Yeah. Like book some time at either end of the event for sure.
Absolutely.
So here's this is one of my favorite true stories.
Okay.
Absolutely true stories about the music in my family. So I'll share a little with you.
Sure.
I was at my very first time ever being an organizer of a WordCamp, and I was helping organize WordCamp Buffalo.
Okay.
And we had the speaker dinner, and then everybody left, and there were three of us organizers sitting at the bar having Moscow Mules. That's also where I had my first Moscow Mule. I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
So we're talking, and they're talking about, at the time, I don't remember exactly what was going on in hockey, but it was about, I don't know, 5 years ago. And something was happening that spring, and I said, you know, and they were talking about the Sabres, the Buffalo Sabres. And I said, oh, who's your, you know, your favorite hockey team? And one of the guys says, well, the Chicago Blackhawks. And I said, oh, my grandfather used to play for the Blackhawks. And they said, really? What position? And I said, oh, he was the organist.
Oh, that is great. Nicely done.
The funniest part is I had a Moscow Mule or two. I was a little nervous about word camping. I didn't mean it to be funny, but at the time, we all laughed pretty well. So.
Well played, Michelle. That's nice. Yes.
Yeah. So he, I'm like, they're like, you mean he's the guy that used to go da 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 da.
Exactly.
Charge.
Yes, yeah. So many of those, you know, like baseball games and all that stuff. There was really an organist up there doing all that stuff.
There really was, which is totally funny. But and now my aunt has followed in his footsteps. She actually has been like the duet partner for Neil Diamond on the road. And she and her husband have Grammy Awards. He's an orchestrator. He's worked with all the big names. And their son is the singer Beck. So he's actually technically my cousin. So
oh, isn't that cool?
There's a little music in the family. And you know, I can carry a tune. So there you go.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's pretty great.
So there's my hidden talent too. How can we find you online? What's your website? Where are you on social media, et cetera?
I have to pick a website, but Twitter is the David Johnson, and that's just not—it's not like an arrogant thing. It was just that, you know, David Johnson. I might as well be named John Smith, right? But DavidJohnson.com was clearly taken by the time I was like, "Hey, I'm going to buy a domain." So I'm the David Johnson, you know, right? So I'm the DavidJohnson.com also. So you could do that. But yeah, I'm the David Johnson on Twitter. And the website for our business, though, is growthedream.com. So that would be good.
Perfect. Yeah. And we will put all of those links, of course, in on the website.
Why, thank you.
With this episode, so people can find you quickly that way, too.
Super.
Thank you for being with me this evening. I really appreciate your time and getting to know you a little bit better and helping to get your story out in the WordPress universe. So,
why, thank you. I really appreciate you having me on. It's been great fun.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much. I have a lot of fun with this, so it's always
tell,
a good thing.
Yeah, it comes through in the episodes, too.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. So, thanks. So we will bid adieu to the Coffee Talk land and catch you on Twitter.
Sounds good. I'll see you there.
All right. Take care.